Good evening, boys and girls. How was that for a start? You like that?
It sounded pretty good.
It sounded
Halloween-y.
I forgot the evil laugh. Damn.
Oh, well. You broke character before you even got to the punchline. What's wrong with you?
Because that's how I roll.
Oh.
You know.
You're that type of character. You're the meta character.
I am the jelly to all the other jams.
Oh, but you said Jalla. Jallo or something.
No,
Jallo?
Like that. No Jallo, no yellow. But sometimes I was once called Melly Yellow.
Oh yeah, Melly Yellow.
All right, we strove way too far off of the thing.
We could have brought it back around.
No, it was gone.
Yeah, what do you mean it's gone?
It was gone, man.
Dude, what you don't hit stop. What are we doing today?
Why
is the recorder
today,
on?
Because I pushed the button that has red and records.
Well, then why'd you do that?
Because we decided that we were, I sort of threw it out there and my cohort decided to go along with it, but R&R Podcast is bringing you our Halloween special.
See, I told you we brought it back around. What's the Halloween special to do with?
You guys didn't catch any of that, though.
Any of what?
It's acting!
Why are we acting?
I don't know. John Lovitz popped ahead, but I don't think he's in any of the movies that we're going to be talking to you about today.
Is he in? No, I don't think he's in that one.
Yeah. So anyway, more or less, we decided to go through and bring you a special Halloween production of the R&R Podcast of just some of our favorite movies that we enjoy to watch around the Halloween time, or that are Halloween influenced in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they don't have to be horror. They don't have to be horror per se, but they are Halloween themed. You know, but for example, like Garfield. I don't know. I couldn't think of an example without giving something off the list. And it's not list time yet, boys and girls.
What about Ernest Scared Stupid?
That's a good one.
Not
on my list, but that's a good one.
It is definitely one of those.
I was searching.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Something like that, or like a movie that we usually watch around Halloween time, whether it be horror or not horror, like maybe that one movie. I don't know. Like The Christmas Story. Why would you watch The Christmas Story on Halloween?
Because it's a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah, that's right. You were a pink bunny one year for Halloween.
And, yeah.
What?
All right, gonna start off. Send out a few thanks to some people that have helped us out in getting this up and going, and as we're ever trying to go through and strive to make this a better podcast for y'all's enjoyment.
Yes. Yeah, to start out with, our theme that you just heard from the first one and before we started rambling here was done by Jamie Smithart. She, thank you very much, girl. She has a podcast herself. What was it again?
Chronicles of the Arcane.
Yes.
Make sure you check them out on Facebook. Actually, they are premiering their show tonight at some point, so definitely make sure you go over to their page, like
them.
Good
luck, Jamie.
Check them out. Good luck to you, girls. Yeah.
I'd like to send a shout-out to Boss Butcher. He's part of the Terror Troop podcast, and he helped me out with downloading stuff and, you know, just price ranges and how to get started. So thank you, Mr. Boss. You got anybody else? Because that's all I've got right now. All right, so why'd you hit the record button earlier besides shits and giggles?
Well, I think I explained that we're going to go through and bring some Halloween-style movies.
Well, who's going first?
Paper, Rock, Scissors.
All right, best 7 out of 5?
going to talk to you about, of course, you know, one of the movies that you cannot talk about or at least watch or see around Halloween time is, what movie did you think, Randy? Take a wild guess. What movie might you hear people talking about around Halloween? That's right, folks. Halloween, Michael Myers, great, great Halloween movie to watch.
Yeah, it's right in its title. That's right on the frickin' nose.
Yes. Yeah, Halloween, it's always been one of my favorites.
Do you know Halloween, what its original title?
Way to shock me with a fan fact, but let's hear it.
We've got to be factual on this show, and it's been said many a times, but its original, like, name, I think, especially as working title, was just Babysitter Killers, because there was no really Halloween thing to it. It was just the guy that wanted to do the was funding the movie was just like, hey, let's do a movie about a killer killing babysitters. So, all right, let's run with it. And then partway through production or writing, someone came up, how about we set it on Halloween? And then you have Halloween.
That is awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bears hibernate.
Yes, they do.
More facts for everyone else out there listening.
You'll have that. It's a horror movie podcast. I had to throw facts out. We got to show that we're factual. We got to show that we know our shit, or people will poo on us, and I don't want to be pooed on.
Right, because it's always better to be pissed off than pissed on.
Yes.
But if you're pooing piss, or pissing poo, get that checked out.
Something's crossed up.
Yes. So, Halloween.
Everybody knows what it's about.
Of course. Michael Myers. All I'm talking about Halloween 1, though.
Yeah,
definitely the original.
John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yes, that set the entire rest of the series
1978,
off.
Just so everybody knows.
Yes, 1978. That's definitely.
Did you know it was a box? You know, it was kind of a box office bomb.
It was, yes. They put a lot into production and barely scraped by on it.
Well, it's opening weekend, it didn't really make too much money, but after about a month or so in theaters, it gained traction and made its money back and then some. Hell, it's the most highest grossing independent horror movie. It's just for inflation, from what I understand. You know, one of the most highest grossing independent horror movies.
Hmm.
Especially with the DVD sales and everything. But yeah, nobody knew anything about it, and word of mouth, next thing you know, it was making more money than anybody knew what to do with, and spawned a shit ton of sequels, which some of them are okay. We ain't gonna talk about.
We're talking about Halloween 1. If you want to talk about one of the other Halloweens for one of your movies, feel free to throw it out there. But yeah, Halloween, basically, enough said. Randy, go ahead. What you got over there?
Well, I got over here. Tales from the Crypt, 1972. Not the Bordello of Blood or Demon Night or Ritual, the three Tales from the Crypt movies. Tales from the Crypt, 1972, and an anthology movie.
That's a movie that I have not seen.
It's a good movie. I've seen it. It's an old 70s movie. It's about five people somehow end up at a mausoleum in a cemetery, and there's an old crypt keeper. And he tells them stories about how they died. So you get to see everybody's death, which is pretty interesting. It's pretty nice. And then the end of the movie is pretty... End of the movie is kind of corny, 70s Hammer style, because I think Peter Cushing's in it. So you can... It's a British movie. So it's a good movie.
Now,
I liked it. It was nice and suspenseful.
I was always a fan of the Tales from the Crypt TV series. Though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure that's what... initially was spawned from.
Well, this movie was kind of a spawn from the Tales from the Crypt comic book series back from the 30s, because, you know, they was Tales from the Crypt before that.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt, it's been around for a while, so I am familiar with it, just I have not seen the original movie.
Yeah, this has no Crypt Keeper in it. Probably sounded horrible, but still, no Crypt Keeper, just some monk-looking guy telling everybody how they're going to die.
Huh. Well, yeah, definitely, if you want, there you go. Our first two movies out to you. Definitely Halloween. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure
you'll see it
at some point in time.
If you're a horror movie fan, you at least need to see Rob Zombies.
And then also Tales from the Crypt being Randy's choice.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Went old school on you guys, 1972, but it's a good movie, and when they're pulling into the cemetery to go up to the mausoleum, it is fall time, so I feel like it's fall time, so it gives me a good Halloween vibe.
All right. Well, tell you what, I'm going to go through, throw a couple Halloween tunes in throughout our little segment here, so here you go. Y'all enjoy this one, and we'll be back with you here in a minute from the R&R Podcast. All right, well, unless you are a fool of some form and didn't recognize that, that of course was John Carpenter's Halloween theme. Definitely one of my favorite Halloween songs, I would have to say.
Yes, that's a nice and creepy little song.
All right, moving on, let's see, Randy, what movie you want to talk about right now, real quick? What's one of your Halloween favorites?
Halloween favorites? Let's see here. I'd have to say 1980s Fright Night.
Fright Night.
Fright Night. Oh, 1985. My bad. I looked at a different movie. 1985. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. But 1985's Fright Night.
Fright Night. Yeah, it's one of those I have not seen.
Oh, it's a good movie. It's a good little movie. It has Marcy Darcy in it from Married with Children.
Amanda Bears.
Yes. Marcy Darcy. Yes, it has her in it. It makes her look kind of hot too. She has the Marcy haircut, but it's she's a little younger, and there's a scene at the end where she's got a white flowing gown on, and she don't mind boner, but she's a lesbian, so that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's one of the movies I haven't seen. Definitely, it has been on my to-watch list. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
Yeah, as IMDb says here, it is when a teenager learns that his next door neighbor is a vampire, no one will believe him. It's pretty much it, but yeah, there's a teenager. I forget his name. If I was smart, I would know his name. But he sees some new neighbors move in, and he sees it's never really sees the quote unquote master of the house, and until nighttime, and through all his deduction powers, he thinks he has a vampire, and nobody wants to listen to him. Man, I'm really butchering that. Yeah. But yeah, it's a good movie. You should see it. I haven't seen the remake, because I heard the new remake was pretty good, but they made Evil Ed look more sexier than what he was, and he's a pretty cool little vampire, but he wasn't sexy. I don't know if he was sexy. I wouldn't call him sexy.
I'm completely unkeen to it. I'd have to check it out. But know what? One movie that I am definitely, definitely hip on, one of my favorite Halloween movies, and it's one of those movies. It was so nice I had to see it thrice, and that is Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Holy shit. Everybody hold your hats. He said the fucking name three
I
times.
done did it right there. I did, but so far safe and sound.
If I could think of a quote from the movie, I would have tried to do my Beetlejuice voice, but for some odd reason, I can't think of a quote of the movie. But go
Right.
ahead.
But who hasn't seen it? Michael Keaton stars in it, of course, playing the ever-famous Beetlejuice himself. Had Gina Davis in it, Alec Baldwin,
Winona.
directed, of course, by Tim Burton,
Don't
one of
forget
my
about Winona. Don't forget
favorite
about Sticky Fingers
directors.
herself, Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder, yes, she played Lydia, yes. Who
She
could
was
forget her?
hot.
She was, and young, unfortunately, at that point, too, so.
Still, she's hot. I better steal my package. I mean,
directed by Tim Burton.
Hey, I know that guy. Didn't he do a movie called Edward Scissorhands?
Yes, he's done quite a few, and that's another good movie. Can't deny that. Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, but Tim Burton and Michael Keaton.
A little aside, sorry, a little aside. So it is Halloween, and it is Halloween related. That is Vincent Price's last role is Edward Scissorhands.
Wow.
Last time he's ever on screen doing anything. I think it's a voiceover or something like that, but that's his very last role is in that movie. Just little quick fact there about that, since we was talking about Edward Scissorhands and Tim Burton. Continue.
Yeah, like I said, Tim Burton and Michael Keaton, they worked together in several movies. They, of course, they were in Batman together, and actually there's one of the scenes in the movie where you'll see Michael Keaton, well, Beetlejuice, having the ears for Batman on, which is kind of funny. I'll have to go back and watch that to try to find out. Also another fun fact about this movie is it is one of the few movies, along with Spaceballs, Big, and Caddyshack 2, where they contained the F word in a PG rated film during the PG-13 era.
Nice.
So, any of you kids out there that need to.
What year is that movie?
Beetlejuice came out in
Beetlejuice.
1988.
That's right around the time that the PG-13 was first implemented, because it was movies like that and another Spielberg movie that came along and was just like, well, this isn't quite R, but this isn't quite PG, so we've got to make a new rating, and the MPAA came up with PG-13.
I did not know that. Again.
Sorry, I got a bunch of useless knowledge. I apologize.
Go on Jeopardy one of these days, maybe,
I
and you
suck at Jeopardy. That's useless knowledge I don't know, because it's not horror movies. Now, if there was a horror movie edition of Jeopardy, I'd probably be banging.
know. Yeah, I could see Kevard Zelba out up there.
Every time you do that, you create a black hole.
Well, he can only disappear once.
Yeah, but still, if he can only disappear once, then he'll reappear and then disappear again.
Well, I think I've done it thrice now. I'm digging that word thrice. I don't know. I've done it 3 times. And yeah, it's worked out good so far.
Yeah.
Do you have any other input? Anything? No.
No, I was just throwing some facts out, you know. You got anything else on it? Want to
Like I said,
throw out the synopsis, a quick like one-line synopsis?
Don't say his name 3 times or else there he is and let the fun begin.
Isn't Gina Davis in that movie?
Gina Davis, yeah, she played in that. Yeah, she was also in A League of Their Own.
Yeah, she was one of the main characters trying to do the song, and all I can say is Dale.
Dale.
Daylight come and me want to go home.
All right. Yeah, that pretty much covers it for that on that.
Couldn't resist.
So that's a couple other movies that, like I said, definitely I would suggest watching. Beetlejuice and Randy,
Yeah.
any last words about Friday Night?
It's a good movie, and it's a good vampire movie. Didn't know if I said that. It's a pretty good little vampire movie. It's almost a modern style Dracula movie, but yeah, it's a good movie. I would say watch it if you dig vampire movies. He doesn't sparkle.
So definitely check out that is so funny. I'm sorry, but yeah, definitely check out Beetlejuice and Fright Night to get your little Halloween fix in at some point this evening. I'm gonna take another short break here. Gonna play another song for you and be back in just a moment.
And you will see this our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the middle of night. This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene. Trick or treat.
We're not mean in our town of Halloween.
In this town.
of it now. Everyone's waiting for our next surprise.
And a Tin Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump.
From the soundtrack of The Nightmare Before Christmas, song written by Danny Elfman himself, This Is Halloween. So, got another movie for us there, Ralphie?
You were sort of reading my mind, I'd have to say. I'm actually going to be talking about The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ooh, nice. It's almost like we had that planned.
Yeah, you who'd have thunk, you know? I mean, definitely, anybody that thinks about Halloween to me has to think of that movie, you know.
Don't kill me. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in my co-host here that he has not seen the movie The Nightmare Before Christmas.
This is Halloween.
He can sing that song bits and pieces.
Oh, it's a good song, especially the version done by Manson.
But how can you not go through and see that? It's directed, of course, by Tim Burton. Music done by Danny Elfman. There are quite a few different... wrong button. Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Is that? Tentacle porn? Holy shit.
Whoa, hey. Paul Rubens, of course, was one of the voices in the movie. Chris Sarandon was the voice of Jack Skellington, which, of course, is the main character that basically went through, and if you've seen it, you might have seen The Corpse Bride, which is the...
I didn't like that movie.
Yeah, that's Jack Skellington, and, it was good.
Jack Skellington? Corpse Bride?
It's... Okay, there's characters in it that look dead up like Jack Skellington.
You already say The Corpse... That guy was nowhere near Jack Skellington. From what little I know of Jack Skellington, that guy was a wimp. And Jack Skellington tried to take over Halloween... I mean, not Halloween, but Christmas.
Yeah, but Jack Skellington, he... was, of course, in...
It's the same style of animation, I will give you that.
Yes, it is definitely stop motion. Top motion.
It's stop motion.
Stop motion.
I didn't care much for Corpse Bride. It was dumb and a little corny, but we're not talking about that crazy movie.
Tim Burton also, but like I said...
But Tim Burton's good, though, so, you know...
The Night Before Christmas definitely is one of those that I suggest you checking out. What you got, Randy?
What do I got? I got a big, giant house. And not MD either. I'm talking about the movie from 1986, House, starring none other than William Catt. And if you don't know who that is, let me just say the greatest American hero. All right, I'll give you 3 seconds. 2, 1. Yes, that guy from the Greatest American Hero TV show from the 80s. You know, the guy that had the little dog biscuit eating friend? That guy. He plays a really good part in here. And also, you have George Wendt. Sorry, I've never said his last name out loud before, but you might also know him as Norm from Cheers. William Catt plays Roger Cobb, a struggling writer who moves into a house he inherited from his aunt. He just didn't know it was haunted until about 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, I think I have seen this movie. It's been a while, but I remember there's been several movies I've seen with George Wendt, and I think I would say I've seen it. I can't really remember much of it at this point, but
it's a great movie. It's fantasy comedy horror, more comedy and horror. It's more comedy fantasy than horror, but oh my god, when I was first getting into movies, it was one of my favorite movies. It was one of my favorite horror movies to watch because it didn't skimp on the scares when I was younger, and it was also light enough to where I could fall in love with it. And like I said, They have the greatest American hero in it. Come on. Why can't you... How can you not like the greatest American hero? But yeah, it's a movie about a struggling writer that also has Vietnam flashbacks, which is kind of weird. So, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Best scene in the... Best scene is when him and... When, Cobb and... Let me find... Oh, boys. George Wentz. Yeah, Gordon. Harold Gordon. Or Harold Gort. Yeah, Gordon. Yeah, whatever. Roger and Harold are sitting in the living in the kitchen, and they're talking about how they're going to deal with the ghost they got trapped in the closet. And it's a funny little scene because by that time they've already been whooped up by the ghosts, and it's pretty funny stuff. It's a good movie, really good movie. I suggest you watch it. What about you? You got anything else on This Is Halloween, guy?
Like I said, I don't really remember the movie House. I remember I've seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I remember various parts, but yeah, as far as the storyline behind The Nightmare Before Christmas, of course, Jack Skellington decides that it's time to, you know, expand Halloween Town more or less. He's the king of Halloween Town. He's bored with doing the same thing every year for Halloween, so he stumbles into Christmas Town, and yeah, he tries to, you know, basically get the people of Halloween Town to help him put the end of Christmas, or to put him, yeah, basically, to take over Christmas.
That's, he wants to take over Christmas Town, basically.
Yes, definitely, that's the goal behind it, definitely.
Tell him the sad fact about Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus, it was cast to have Vincent Price to do the voice for Santa Claus in it, but it was shortly after the passing of his wife, and his voice had started to become weak and frail, and it had to be recast for the role, which is definitely, definitely a sad, sad note. You got anything else there, Randy?
Outside of a goof on House, when Big Ben is talking, you can see the actor's mouth move underneath the skeleton makeup. Other than that, I don't have much of anything else. And you'll know who Big Ben is whenever you watch the movie. You'll know who Big Ben is.
All right, time for another short little break, and here you go. If this song does not make you think Halloween, I don't know what does.
Ghostbusters! afraid of no thing. Just a walk mode. I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I can't see you. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Louder.
Are you afraid of ghosts?
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. But if I was, I'd have to call somebody. And you don't have to. You know who I'd have to call?
Oh, who are you going to call?
The Ghostbusters.
Ah.
Which, coincidentally, it's almost like we had that planned, is the next movie on our Halloween movie list. This is because it's fucking Ghostbusters. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a pretty solid point. Yeah, you got, you know, four Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you got Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, rest his soul, and Ernie Hudson. Those are your main characters. Also Sigourney Weaver. And it's, as IMDb puts it, too simply, three unemployed parapsychology professors set up shop as a unique ghost removal service. And then Ernie Hudson Winston shows up later as basically a grunt, you know, to do some of the heavy lifting, because he's just basically a normal guy off the street because they needed an extra person to basically help him out because he was getting too bogged down in cases. And Sigourney Weaver plays Donna Barrett, Dr. Peter Venkman's girlfriend, begrudgingly girlfriend.
Right. Who hasn't seen the movie Ghostbusters? You know, it's one of those, it's just a necessity. If you're anybody that has ever watched a movie, Ghostbusters has probably somehow came across your vision. You know, a lot of rememberable characters, Slimer.
Oh, yes. Quick fact on Slimer, he was called on set John Belushi's ghost. Which, in the second one, he kind of becomes John Belushi's ghost. But here's another little oddball fact of the Ghostbusters. The original premise of the Ghostbusters movie is had only three main characters: John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, and Eddie Murphy. They fought ghosts in SWAT-like uniforms using wands instead of guns, and the ghost Slimer was known as Onion Head. But
Eddie Murphy decided not to battle ghosts until he came out with Haunted Mansion.
I guess so, because Eddie Murphy declined, and then also John Candy was supposed to play Lewis, and apparently the director didn't like his ideas, because he wanted Lewis to have a German accent and have schnauzers, and they wasn't kind of feeling that, so he just kind of disappeared and said, "Nah, no, thank you." But yeah. The song you heard before we came in was Ray Parker's Ghostbusters. So, you know, just get throwing that out there just in case if you didn't know who sung the song. It's Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
And he had to end up suing somebody. I forget what it was, but there was someone aped his beat and he decided to sue him or something like that.
It sounded very Hugh Louie-ish.
A little bit.
Huey Lewis-ish. Sorry. Yeah, I just, that was a, once again, it's early morning, folks. You just gotta sort of forgive us.
5:20 in the morning, and we haven't been to sleep yet, so I don't know what your problem is.
All right.
That's basically it for Ghostbusters. If you haven't seen it, watch it, and if you've seen it, watch it again.
Right, or, I mean, after you're done watching that, you know, you could always pick what's going to be my next pick of, movies that make me think Halloween, and that's got to be Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. I know it's one of my favorite top 10 movies of all time.
Went and seen it in theaters, and best best theater experience ever. Beginning scene at the very end after he says fuck your Ellen, fuck you too, and shoots the guy. The whole entire theater room, including me, stood up and applauded. And that was the beginning of the movie, so I knew I was in for a hell of a ride.
Sorry about that. No, that's fine. Like I said, that movie, there's so many great scenes, you know, from run, rabbit, run, to the very beginning, fuck your grandma. Yeah, definitely a great movie. Basically, it's about, crazy, I'm going to call them.
Well, it's
family.
It's basically his homage to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, it's basically, just the weirded out family that runs across the travelers moving throughout. And, let the experiment/tortures begin.
As one of my favorite horror movie quotes, it's all true. The boogeyman is real, and you found him. One of my favorite scary movie quotes. There's another one, but it's too long and I can't quite remember it all, or I'll get into it.
And actually, it's funny, the same house used in the House of Thousand Corpses was also used in the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Nice.
Yeah.
And speaking of House of a Thousand Corpses, Otis Driftwood was played by Billy Moseley, who played Chop Top in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which in the movie Beetlejuice, which we forgot to mention earlier, who played Beetlejuice?
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, according to what we read before we started the cast and a while ago, he based his performance of Beetlejuice on Chop Top from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. So we've got some, 6 degrees of separation going on here.
That's an interesting little wraparound on that. I didn't notice that until you just now mentioned that. But, yeah, this movie, it was Rob Zombie's directorial debut. And they filmed it in 2000, but it wasn't released until 2003. Universal, they were scared that it was going to be, come out with a mature adult rating just because of the scene of it.
NC-17 or maybe
even X. Yeah, NC-17. By the movie association, but I think it was rated R movie.
It went to Universal after that, didn't it?
Yeah, it's yes.
Oh, excuse me. It went to Universal after that, and Rob Zombie made a quote said, "Who had it before Universal?" Uh oh.
Yeah, bad. He popped up questions out of nowhere on me.
I forgot. I was gonna make a point. I need to know who was with who Rob Zombie Paramount was. It Paramount? Wow, this is great podcasting.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Randy, say something. Something.
Yeah.
But anyways, the first company that he had the film with didn't like it because it came out too close to the Columbine shooting, so he shopped it around. And again, I believe it was Universal that had it next. And he made a comment. I think it was on MTV. He said, "Well, I guess Universal don't have any morals," and said, tee-hee, basically. Well, they heard that and said, "Hey, Mr. Zombie, snip, you're gone." And he toiled around for 3 years until 2003, where Lionsgate picked him up.
Yes, and definitely was a good choice by Lionsgate on that, because he's produced quite a few good movies, and in my opinion, a couple that might have been able to stay away from the, production, if not ever been made.
What movie would that be?
We're not going to go into that.
Quick note on Lionsgate. This is the first real movie they had in a while. They did a lot of independents and basically a bunch of documentaries. And this movie exploded, and then they became one of the biggest independent studios around. And now they kind of got a good name, but not really. I don't know. It's kind of a mixed feeling on them now. From what I understand, they've got a little too big for their britches. But then again, I didn't think their britches were that big.
I don't know, but we'll just say the movie that I was referring to, it has to rhyme, it rhymes with The Cords of Balaam. How about that? Not a fan of the ending
of
that movie. Yeah, Cords of Balaam.
I'll write that down and write a story about The Cords of Balaam.
The Cords of Balaam, yeah. Definitely I was not there on it. But yeah, so that basically, you know, I love House of a Thousand Corpses, as you can tell. One of Randy's favorite movies also.
Yeah, well, went there opening weekend.
And
packed theater.
And yeah, Ghostbusters, definitely.
Yes. Ghostbusters
was another excellent movie you know, being from my childhood, remembering it.
The funny thing is I didn't get to see Ghostbusters 2 in theaters, or Ghostbusters in theaters. I went to see Ghostbusters 2, but I was watching the TV show, you know, the cartoon, and I was like, I want to see Ghostbusters 2. And my dad was like, have you seen Ghostbusters 1? It's kind of a little more adult than you think it is. And I was like, oh, I think I'll be okay. So I ended up watching Ghostbusters 1, liked it. Watch Ghostbusters 2, but Ghostbusters 2 is not on any of the lists, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, but that's how I came around to Ghostbusters. So if you haven't seen Ghostbusters, watch Ghostbusters, especially for Harold Ramis.
Yeah, that, like you said, you know, rest his soul on it. All right, no, I'm not done with the house yet. we're going to go through. I got to play House of a Thousand Corpses for you, and. Definitely written by Rob Zombie, and we'll be back with you here in a couple minutes.
Thank you.
I've been listening to was Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses off of the Sinister Urge album, which, little known fact, if you let it play, there's a hidden track at the very end, so, you know.
And what track is that?
That's the very last track, and the hidden track is like you got to listen to a bunch of nothing, and then you'll hear a staticky sound like a record playing, and then you'll get the hidden song. I just made air quotes, and then CD's over. You either replay it or take it out of the machine.
Is that the name of it, Hidden Song?
I don't know what the name of the song is.
Ah,
it's just
that song.
Yeah, it's just like a song that plays at the very end of the CD.
Okay.
It's like a stinger at the end of a movie. Speaking of movies.
Movies, that's right.
Honorable mentions.
We're going to get to a couple honorable mentions.
Well, yeah, right before we get to number one, a couple honorable mentions.
Now, these have been in no particular order.
Yeah,
it's just the last one we decided to throw out there.
Yeah, and these are some honorable mentions, just another way to get more movies on the podcast. Go for it, Ralphie.
Let's see, it reminds me of Halloween, just because I think back about, you know, whenever it came out. What year was that? Let me check. My phone is about to die, and I'm using the notepad on it, and I did not quite copy everything. Yes, here we go, 1996. I think that was the most best-sold Halloween costume. Has got to be the ghost face mask from Scream.
Oh, if you just said Scream, I would have told you 96.
Scream, that definitely, it makes me think of, just because of that, it makes me think Halloween, I think. Also, Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, Jeepers Creepers.
It is kind of folly whenever that movie's going on, too, because it's, yeah.
I mean, 2001 is whenever it came out, and that was whenever the year I graduated high school, so I think I definitely, that's what makes me remember that, is because I had a little bit more free time on my hand, you know.
Free time's on your hand.
Yes.
Oh.
Randy, what movies you got?
Well, for some odd reason, this one makes me think of fall time, or I think it's just the feel of the movie. But it's 1976 is The Omen. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's
definitely Damien.
Oh yeah, Damien, it's all for you, Damien. And then jump, hang yourself.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite scenes in that movie. I would have to say.
Yeah, even in the not so great remake, that's still a pretty heavy scene. But yeah, it's during the little kid's birthday, and the little kid named Damien, so to speak, because he is the son of the devil, is kind of the plot of the movie. He's the Antichrist, actually. But yeah, one of the maids, because it's a rich family, is on the ledge of the house and decides to hang herself for Damien. So, you know, and she hangs herself for Damien. But yeah, IMDb says mysterious death surrounds an American ambassador who... Could the child of that he's raising actually be the Antichrist, the devil's own son? That's really kind of a weak thing. But yeah, it is actually the Antichrist. You'll find out.
What else you got?
Yeah, what else do I got? I have a potato chip clipper in my hand, and next to that is the movie Phantasm from 1979.
Yeah, I have not seen that one.
Oh, it's a good movie. It starts out in a cemetery that makes you feel like it's fall time, Halloween time, and from there, hilarity ensues. Got the tall man. According to IMDb, their stellar synopsis, a young boy and his friends face off against a mysterious gray brawler, only known as the tall man, who keeps mysterious arsenal of terrible weapons with him, or spheres, and they float around and drill into people's skulls and suck their brains out, which is awesome. And all I can say about that is, boy, which is part of the movie. It's a good movie. You should watch it. They're coming out with is that a fifth one next year? So I'm gonna have to catch up on them all, because I need to. I'd like to see that one. I really do love the franchise. So you should see them.
So that's a couple honorable mentions from us. Didn't quite make the list. Just we tried to keep it to five movies apiece, which was kind of difficult to do, especially with all the great Halloween movies that are out there, or any movies that make us think. Make sure, right on our page, what is our Facebook page, Randy? I don't think we've mentioned that yet this podcast.
No, we haven't. It's www.facebook.com/RNRpodcast.
That's right. And yeah, make sure you check us out on and give us your opinion on what you think. Alright, gonna throw one more song at you and then get back to our, you know, last pick of the day. Here we go. Here's a little bit of Michael Jackson for you. If this song does not speak Halloween, the entire music video of this song, I think that I could probably do a podcast on that video itself and speak for at least 2 hours.
Another quick fact about Thriller. This is another appearance by Vincent Price.
Yes, definitely. And that is the quote that I had posted on our page yesterday, I think it was, on Thursday. It was definitely the quote from Vincent Price in the song. So definitely listen it, and we'll be right back with you here in just a few moments.
Thank you. night hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
Michael Jackson. Randy just got done dancing about the room. If y'all could have seen it, you would have been impressed, actually. You know, not bad moves for a white boy, you know.
Told you I could moonwalk, goddammit.
Baby got back. What can you say?
I guess,
well, yeah, baby, of course, from House of a Thousand Corpses, not Randy. Not talking about Randy on
Sherry
that.
Sherry Moon Zombie does got some ass, and if you want to see it really nicely and really goodly,
goodly?
That's not a word. But if you want to see her ass presented to you, Lords of Salem.
Oh, God, we are back on that movie for a minute. Man.
I was just saying her ass is in that movie, and it's nice.
I will not disagree, but that's probably one of the best parts of that movie, which brings us to our last set of movies. We're going to throw as some of our favorite Halloween movies. What'd you say, Randy?
What?
You said, what was your movie? I thought you just said your movie.
I almost did. I thought you threw to me.
Oh. What was it?
Oh, okay. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. 1982. The night no one came home, because it does not have Michael Myers in it at all. Yeah. Well, it does, because there's a scene with Tom Atkins in the bar where they're showing Halloween on the TV, and then you're supposed to stick around afterwards for the Silver Shamrock giveaway, which kills people. I mean, kills people, because it's just crazy. Yeah, the synopsis on the DMBI page is
IMDb.
Yes, did that on purpose. If you didn't understand.
Okay, I was confused. I thought you done went dyslexic on us.
Well, I also put the D in front of the B, or because to be dyslexic, it should have been BDMI. And I said DMBI.
Gotcha.
Yeah. On that page, that says, a large Halloween mask-making company has plans to kill millions of American children with something sinister hidden in Halloween masks. Yeah, it's something sinister, all right. It is a big chunk of, well, spoiler alert, Stonehenge, and they chip off little bitty pieces and stick them in like little chips in the mask, which when you watch the special little giveaway commercial, activates the little chip and turns the children's heads into bees, crickets, cockroaches, snakes,
insects of all sorts of forms.
Yes.
and
a little bit, and a little bit of slime.
Yeah, a little bit of slimy, slithery. Yeah.
It's a little bit of yucky stuff.
Crazy scene.
And it has a really good Halloween vibe to it, because it's about masks, about trick-or-treating, and has Tom Atkins in it. So, also has a small little cameo by Jamie Lee Curtis. She's actually the operator on the phone and the loudspeaker lady. So, just thought I'd throw that in there because it had Jamie Lee Curtis in it. Back to you, Ralphie.
Back to me. Well, I was ready for it. Thanks for the feed. Hey, here's Ralphie. All right. For my last choice, I couldn't just pick one of the movies. It's more or less collaborations of a dynasty of movies. A dynasty of movies.
I wouldn't go that far.
Definitely. There were six of them. And definitely the Saw movies.
Apparently they're the eighth one, too.
Always remind me of Halloween, just because they always came out around Halloween, which is around my birthday.
Yeah.
And I always loved going to the theaters to be able to see
Saw
movie.
There was like 2-3 years in a row we went to the theaters on his birthday. Hell, I seen the 3D one in the theaters on his birthday. It was awesome. I thought I had to dodge a razor blade thing and it came flying at me.
But yeah, the first Saw movie came out in 2004, and of course, you know, Tobin Bell played Jigsaw, an insane mastermind that basically would go through, instead of killing you, would go through and make you live out your pains and sufferings by whatever it was that controlled you, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it greed, be it, you know, all the seven deadly sins were covered numerous times over the six movies.
Well, you didn't know why he did it, right?
Well, the reason? I wasn't going to spoil that much of it.
That's true.
But, the reasoning behind it was definitely a great reason, and the way that they sealed it up and built the storyline and throughout all the movies and then tied it together with the final scene at the end, I was standing applauding in the theater when I saw it, just because to me that went through and that put an end to it. It was excellent. Definitely, I would say one of the top three movie franchises that I have ever seen.
It's a trilogy to me.
But you haven't seen all of them.
I haven't seen all of them. I think I've not seen six. That's about the only one I haven't seen. But like I said, to me, they're a trilogy. 1, 2, and 3, and that's it.
Oh, man. Once again, we do disagree on that aspect of the Saw movies. But
the needle pit, that's all I got to say.
Definitely.
That is number two. Oh, my God, I about pooped my pants.
Yes, and one thing that I did love about them was that even though one of the main characters, we'll say, dies in one of the mid-movies, still, his legacy is carried out and lived on, you know, throughout the rest of it. And, yes, the ending tying of it, for him to know that everything was going to fold together, the way that he melded it together was beautiful. Jigsaw was not your average murderer. He was up there with the Hannibal Lecter.
He's no Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
If you ask him, he didn't. He's never murdered anybody.
Well, that is true. But as far as I don't even know how to describe it. Then the weeding out of bad people is what he did very well. That is what I will put on that. So definitely Saw, any of the movies, definitely recommend starting one and going through the end to go through and be filled in on the entire storyline.
Stop at three.
And Randy was talking about what movie was it?
Halloween 3, speaking of number 3, Season of the Witch. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, the night nobody comes home, because there's no Michael Myers in it, because it's not about Michael Myers.
Definitely check out any of those movies, and we're going to take one more short break and enjoy this. As Randy said, told me before we'd started, this is one of his favorite Halloween time songs.
back, the R&R podcast, and what you heard there was probably, in my estimation, one of the most scariest songs in any horror movie ever, Tubular Bells, off the Exorcist soundtrack. Pretty creepy little fucking sound. And for a list of all the songs we played on here, you can go where again, Ralphie?
This is usually your line. We just switched it up. Wow. I didn't realize we were doing that, but we were. So,
This was your idea.
Somebody needs to shoot that fucker, whoever came up with that idea then, apparently. But anyway, go to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/R&R podcast.
See, I told you you could do it.
Man, dude, I'm shocked. I'm going to have to take another break, I think, just to try to recover from that. But yeah, anyway, and also, yeah, check out our Facebook page. We'll have a list of all the songs that we used on the show today. That way you can go through and check them out if you want to check them out for your own. And also to sort of cover our asses.
Yeah, pretty much, because we don't want to get sued, because we don't want to get sued.
Yeah, we're poor.
Yes, we are. That's why we're doing a podcast. I mean, we like horror movies.
Yeah, so, all right, look, give y'all a quick rundown of what we had. Randy, what movies did you talk to us about?
Starting with the first one I talked to y'all about, Tales from the Crypt, 1972, the way before The Crypt Keeper and The Bordello of Blood and everything, and one of the first anthology movies that I've ever come across, which was a really good movie. And then number four, the fourth one, was Fright Night. Good vampire movie. Number three, House. Nice comedy, sci-fi, horror movie. More comedy than horror, but it's still a good movie. And again, Greatest American Hero. Just saying. Number three was... Number two. Number two was Ghostbusters.
His counting was dyslexic that time.
Yes, it was, just like always. Ghostbusters. All I can say is, Ray, whenever someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. And then... Number one, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. The night, no one comes home, because Michael Myers ain't in it. It's not about him. What about you, Ralphie? What was yours?
Yeah, well, it's funny, you ended your list with Halloween 3. My first one was Halloween, of course, Michael Myers' introduction. Excellent movie. Second movie was Beetlejuice, hey, what is that?
Squirrel.
Squirrel, yeah, that's... definitely Michael Keaton in Beetlejuice. After I'd had The Nightmare Before Christmas, definitely one of my favorite stop-motion animated movies of all time. Followed Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses, and
Run, Rabbit, Run.
That's right. After that last movie I talked to y'all about was Saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because that is just like Stephen King's The Stand. It's just an extended, you know, version.
Stephen King's The Stand wasn't a trilogy. It was a miniseries.
And it was an 8-parter. Four-parter, sorry. And each part was...
So it was longer than a trilogy.
Oh, and it was 4, so it wasn't 3.
And it's also...
It's a quadrilogy. Quadrilogy. No.
Now you're making up words.
Quadrilogy. I like that.
It's a quadlogy, huh? Is that like just a decaphobia?
That's like hashtag quadlogy.
Quadlogy. How do you spell that?
Don't ask, don't tell.
You have to spell it to hashtag it.
Alright, for the correct proper spelling of quadlogy, check out our Facebook page. Randy, what's that?
www.facebook.com/R&R podcast, you jackass.
Just the R&R podcast part. Ignore the you jackass part. That's just if you need to talk to, apparently, me directly, then I will answer all messages to that.
Jackass.
Alright, you got anything else you need to say, Randy? Talk about this, that, the other?
Once again, thanks to Jamie for the intro and outro music, and Boss for all the help getting the podcast started. Other than that,
yes, definitely. Thank you all so much. And also, make sure you check out Chronicles of the Arcane. They're going to be podcasting. Check their podcast out. It should be airing some point tonight. And definitely,
check out the Terror Troop podcast. They got their Facebook page and whatnot, so check them out too.
Fucking gremlins.
Yeah, fucking fuck them gremlins, man. But anyway, well, thank you all for listening to our Halloween special. Hope you all enjoyed it. Gives you a little something to watch during this time of year if you're into that type of thing. And
happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. For the R&R podcast, my name's Ralph.
And this is Randy. And keep the red groovy flowing.